Today's audio cast for Monday, July 31st, 2006 is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News. Today we're going to tie up some loose ends from AirVenture 2006 at Oshkosh and feature some great audio clips that didn't make it into our extended AirVenture audio coverage podcast last week. First up, it's a race to the finish line for the Rev Fadec equipped engine. According to Rev Engines, it's lighter than a TIO 540, comparable in power, and the company says it has an aircraft manufacturer lined up. AvWeb's Russ Niles caught up with the company at Oshkosh. Let's listen.
We're talking with Luc Degaspé-Bolbien, Director of Operations for Rev Aircraft Engines. Give us a little update on the progress and what you expect this year to look like.
First of all, thanks for the opportunity to be speaking with your listeners. It's always a pleasure. It might be known to some listeners as the Bombardier because of the heritage, but there was an important shift in 2003 where Bombardier Inc., the public company, dissociated itself from some activities and sold off some assets, including the product that we're talking about today, which is the Rev V220 and the Rev V300T aircraft engines. This year for us is the race to the finish line, getting certification on the product. Although TC, or certification of the product, is not the ultimate goal, it's something that we have to go through. And once we have that joint European and American certification on the power plant, the final steps of certification in an airframe for sale to the public will be finished. And that's the focus for this year, with availabilities coming shortly thereafter.
Well, here we have an aircraft engine that revs at 6,000 RPM at full power. Characterize how it operates in the airplane.
At full power, it does turn at 6,000 RPM at the crankshaft, but at the propellers, you may recall, there's a 3-to-1 propeller speed reduction unit, so the propeller is actually turning 2,000 RPM, which is turbine-like speeds, like turboprops. And it operates like a turboprop. From a quietness standpoint, from a vibration standpoint, from a sound standpoint, the description that's always been done by the professional pilots, test pilots, or commercial pilots that work for us who've flown it, say you really fly this thing like a turbine. You have a single power lever, you set it, forget it, and if you want altitude figures, rather climbing or descending, in the PA-28 that we've showcased before, you can peg the VSI and the temperatures are nice and neutral, so altitude change on demand is not an issue, and because it's turbocharged, density, altitude, and other factors are managed. The entire package, which we're calling a PPIA, for Power Plant Integrated Assembly, comes on an engine mount with everything required to run the engine. The engine control unit, that includes the FADEC, as well as the radiators, and all liquids filled to the maximum fill line, not the operational line, which is lower, but at the maximum fill line of coolant, with all the accessories included, including the fuel pumps, it weighs out at 570 pounds. Which is about 30 pounds lighter than a comparable TIO 540 installation on an engine mount when it's ready to go.
You keep telling us you have an OEM in mind?
Well, I'd say it's more than in mind. We have an OEM that's secured and we're sticking together because, like a marriage, you work through all issues to arrive at your child and grow that child to an adult, and that's the stage we're at. We're about to give birth, we're looking forward to it, and when exactly that will happen, I know it's disappointing to say, but you'll have to ask the OEM, because the last thing that we're allowed to do is disclose who the OEM is or what the timing is.
Not all plans roll out as planned, but the tough persevere. And AvWeb's Mary Grady talked with pilot Jim Stewart, who knows tough firsthand. Stewart was at the helm of the experimental sport jet, which cartwheeled off the runway during the late stage of flight testing just prior to AirVenture. Stewart describes the jet, the experience he and his fellow crew survived, and future plans for the design.
Quite an experience, quite a lot of fun. The airplane is a personal light jet. It's really a new entry into the marketplace, but obviously a well-needed, really needed airplane. There are a lot of people who have airplanes like me. I've got a Mooney, a lot of people with Mooneys, Pipers, Beach, that sort of thing, who want to go faster. Who want to not only go faster, they want to get there, they want to go in comfort, they like a lot of room in the airplane, and they like safety. And that's really what this airplane is addressed toward, the market. It's been a very, very functional platform. I've been getting 4,000 feet a minute rate of climb. Normally, you know, on a normal takeoff would be 2,000, 2,500 feet a minute. That's a great rate to be able to climb to altitude. And you can maintain those kinds of rates of climb almost to 25,000 feet, which is pretty impressive. It's got a Williams engine in it, 1,500-pound thrust J33, and it's doing great things. It's got a Fadec, and that FADIC controls, computer control for the engine. So with that FADIC, the pilot doesn't have to do anything.
Okay, so this will be a single engine, is it a four-seat jet?
Single engine four-seater.
Okay.
It'll be able to carry standard four people, full fuel, which is very important, and whatever baggage they might have. And that's without having to sacrifice any one of those things, people, fuel, or baggage. So when we advertise that the airplane will carry those kinds of things, it in fact will, with ease.
So you see this as a jet for the personal jet market, at the stepping up from, like you said, a Mooney. Is that kind of how you envision your market, as the owner pilot, kind of a low time pilot?
Absolutely. It's the low time pilot who can be insured, stepping up from what we now consider to be the general aviation market. You know, a person who's spending $500,000 on a Mooney or other airplanes, up to $1.9 million on something like a Meridian, can go out for $1.2 million and get a jet airplane that'll go 350 knots at 25,000 feet.
Now, you were planning to fly the jet here, and there was an accident. Can you tell us what happened?
I sure can. Today, in fact, was the day that I was supposed to fly the sport jet here at Oshkosh. And what happened was, on the 22nd of June, we were on a test flight. We were going to do a test flight there in Colorado Springs, which is the only airport the airplane had flown from. And there was a wake turbulence accident behind a Dash 8. That Dash 8 took off prior to my going out to the end of the runway. I had no knowledge of the Dash 8, and so essentially what happened was the tower cleared me to take off, which was in error. The cloud tower cleared me to take off, and I was 1 minute and 28 seconds behind that Dash 8. Minimum of 3 minutes is absolutely necessary, and probably should have been more like 4 minutes or more between airplanes, considering the weight differential and that sort of thing. So I found myself in the middle of a wake turbulence event that was really very, very severe.
But you came out of it okay, and the airplane now is here, right? And what kind of damage was done to the airplane?
I came out of it okay. There was a passenger in the airplane with me, a flight test engineer. We both survived, and I might add that we're the first survivors of a cartwheel type of accident. Over 300 people have died in cartwheel types of accidents, and I happen to be the first one to survive, which is all right with me. The airplane was destroyed by definition. However, the cabin, the whole pressure vehicle of the airplane, was not destroyed and is totally intact. I was able to open the doors routinely by the normal method. Nothing protruded inside the airplane. There was no fuel spill. The engine did not come into the airplane. And so for that, I'm still alive, and I'm here to talk with you.
And so where does the program go from here?
From here, we need to produce 3 airplanes and start the certification process. So we'll do that starting soon, very soon, produce those 3 airplanes and put them into the certification process. And hopefully within 2 years have a certified airplane that people will be able to go out and buy for that $1.2 million.
While XL Jet, maker of the Sport Jet, works on making lemonade from the bitter experience it was handed by the loss of a jet, other programs that have so far been spared such adversity showcase their steps, large and small. Eclipse had already put thousands of hours on its test fleet prior to last Thursday receiving a provisional type certificate from the FAA, and the single-engine D-Jet, which is expected to be full plane parachute equipped by the time it heads to production, also evoked complimentary words from FAA Chief Marion Blakey.
Is this an elegant airplane or what?
Yes, in terms of style, flair. And at the same time, I think it is very reassuring to know that a great deal of thought is going into issues of pilot workload, making this a very accessible plane for pilots who are stepping up and into jets. We'll do everything we can to move it smoothly ahead. Thank you very, very much.
But that's not all. The ride that began in earnest with Eclipse's launch of its Eclipse 500 program now seemingly has every major manufacturer climbing aboard. Case in point, Piper Aircraft. Even while joining Honda in a supporting role for that company's Honda Jet, Piper Aircraft President Jim Bass took the time at AirVenture to make sure we knew his plans to toss Piper's hat into the ring.
Well, we will announce our jet strategy at NBAA in the fall, and we will also have a product announcement. And I don't mean to be coy about it, but we have always said that this year we will announce our jet strategy, and we've chosen NBAA to do that.
Have you chosen an engine?
Well, at this point, that's all I can say. But let me just say that I think this should be something that you should really be tuned into. It's going to be a very exciting and interesting year for general aviation.
Is there room for all these jets in the market, Jim?
I think there's room for the right type of jets. As you can see here today, this is a stunning, stunning product. We're very proud of our alliance with Honda, and we think they've got a great product.
What a show, what a show. And for all of this year's achievements and promise, you can be sure eyes are looking to next year for results. AFWEB turned to EAA spokesman Dick Nepinski for a wrap-up of this year's major events and a look into EAA's crystal ball.
Well, things went very well from our opening day, which was the biggest opening day we've ever had. Of course, the Beach Boys played at the end of that night. The B-1 bomber came in. Next year, of course, is the 60th anniversary of the Air Force. We may see a lot of great Air Force planes out there next year. It is the total spectrum of the event that comes in here that makes it special. Not only what we plan, but what the exhibitors and the builders and the flyers bring to Oshkosh that make it special.
That was EAA's Dick Nepinski. Well, this week we'll continue to tie up some loose ends from AirVenture 2006 and feature some great audio clips that didn't make it into our extended AirVenture audio coverage podcast last week. All of the AVWeb staff worked tirelessly to bring you some great coverage, not only in print form, but also in our audio coverage this year. So as they take a little breather, we will talk to you again later in the week, right here on AVWeb's Audio News. Today's audio cast was brought to you by Aviation Safety, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting.